In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us. Cleanse us from all stain and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to now treat of the fifth Sunday in Lent in this cycle, C, which is our cycle for this time of year, for this cycle, I should say. And the theme is really more God's merciful restoration. Certainly beautifully encapsulated in the Gospel, which is the story of the woman taken in adultery in John. And so, we're going to look first in this first section, before we actually look at the text, on what does it mean, the mystery? What does it mean to preach the mystery? Mysterion, as I think I've mentioned before, refers to God's plan as it is revealed. And so it's the plan as understood. Now, this is a definition of mystery by Jean Lacroix, who wrote a book on history and mystery, Histoire et Mystère. Mystery is that which opens up temporality and gives it its depth. It's an action. What is the depth of that action, you see? It is that which introduces a vertical dimension into history. It makes it a time of revelation and of unveiling, so that the event is unveiling, is carrying, but it has to be plumbed, it has to be understood. Its interior dimension has to be appreciated. Well, I'll give you my Smith-Jones example that you've already heard a lot already. We're at a party, and I say, did you see that? Smith just walked across the room there. And he took Jones's hand, and Jones put both his hands around Smith, and they smiled at each other. And you say, okay, that's nice. And then I say, up to this point, Smith and Jones have been enemies for 10 years. There's an interior dimension to that action, as there is in every human act. But when God is at the source of these actions, they have an infinite depth. And it's about that that Paul and the Gospels are speaking. In Mark 4:11, Jesus tells the disciples, to you is granted the mystery of the kingdom. That is, the mystery which is the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, everything comes in parallels. But to you is given, you see, the understanding, the grant of the mystery, because I'm teaching it to you. I'm revealing it to you. Now, for instance, in Romans 11, Paul says, I want you to be quite serious, brothers, of this, I want you to be quite certain, brothers, of this mystery to save you from congratulating yourselves on your own good sense. Part of Israel had its mind hardened, but only until the Gentiles have wholly come in. In other words, you, former pagans, don't congratulate yourselves that you have such great insight and the Jews don't. The mystery is, the plan of God is, to give you the grace of understanding and then to bring them in. And while that is said there, you see, in chapter 11 of Romans, the whole three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, are about the unfolding of the mystery. So you see, when the priest says the mystery of faith at Mass, and we respond, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. That is the mysterion. Huh? That is the plan of God revealed. That's God's plan. And so we have to enter into that plan. in Colossians 1:27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which in the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, that's the mysterion. That's the fulfillment of God's plan. He's in you because you're baptized. And that baptism places him in you because that baptism joins you to the act of love in which he died. So those who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death so that they could walk now in a completely new way. That's the mysterion. We have many examples. We call all the events that we meditate on in the four sets of events in the rosary, we call them the mysteries of the rosary. They are the events, the incarnation, the visitation, the birth, the presentation, the finding of Jesus. These are actions in history that have an infinite depth and an infinite signification. And so the work of the church in taking these biblical texts and working with them is to open up for us an understanding of the mystery, you see? And so that happens, you see, by this handing on, this traditio, the handing on of the realities through preaching. Now, this is a very important text. It's in the document on the Word of God, on the biblical revelation at Vatican II, De Verbum, number 8. The tradition, which is from the apostles, makes progress in the church under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The reality that is handed on in the apostolic tradition, in the scriptures, which is the apostolic tradition, and the world surrounding those scriptures, which is the apostolic tradition. A perception grows of both the realities and the words which have been handed on, so that we understand the realities more and more deeply, which is just what we're doing here and what we do all the time, so that we can enter into an understanding of the mystery and pass it on. Here we are now in this fifth Sunday of Lent, whose theme is forgiveness. How do we transmit God's readiness, God's desire, God's love, God's forgiveness? How do we do it? First, we have to know it by revelation. That's why we pray. This text says, you see, that a perception of these divine realities grows. First, by the contemplation and study of believers who carry these things in their hearts. That's how. See? By the contemplation and study of believers who carry these things in their hearts. Second, by the intimate understanding of the spiritual realities which they experience. Without experience, there cannot be an understanding of the mysteries. It's just an intellectual grasp. You can recite what St. Paphnutius said, but you don't know it. The third way, by the preaching of those who have received through episcopal succession the sure charism of truth. Now, but those are the bishops, of course. But they can't just preach unless they've been doing the first two things. You just can't say, I'm a bishop, I'll go preach the mystery. You don't know the mystery. But you have a grace, a calling to plumb that mystery, experience that mystery, and impart it to the faithful. See, by the contemplation and study of believers who carry these things in their heart, and by the intimate understanding of the spiritual realities which they experience. Now, you know, at Vatican II, to put in that word, quas experiuntur, which they experience, you see, it took a month and more of debate. Why? Because of the trail that that word brings with it ever since the modernism. But we don't want that word. Didn't send people. No. You cannot talk about reality, divine, real revealed reality, without talking about experience. You have to know it to preach it. You just can't say, well, Saint so-and-so says, and pass that on. It's better than nothing. No, you see, the tradition from the apostles, pro graditur, makes progress in the church three ways, all under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. First, the contemplation and study of believers who carry these things in their hearts. And by the action of the Holy Spirit, you see, this perception, this experience. Second, by the contemplation and study of believers who carry these things in their hearts. That's the first one. The second, by the intimate understanding of the spiritual realities which they experience. It's not a dirty word, experience. It's the foundation. That's why when Pope Benedict urged at one of the, at the Regina Caeli, for 2008, and he said, you see, the whole church must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he went on to define what that means, to have an awareness of what we've been given in baptism and confirmation. Awareness, experiential faith, which is this whole year of faith, right? It's the year of perceiving divine reality, being changed by it, and being able to impart it. So that's the mysterion. So we're going to look now how the church on this fifth Sunday of Lent opens up through the scriptures, you see, this event. Primarily, the mystery is the event in and through which an action of God is revealed and is understood as part of the plan of salvation. And so we have this definition here. The economy of revelation comes about by events and words that are intrinsically connected between themselves. The Exodus and the story of the Exodus, you see. And then Augustine. In the very fact itself, and not only in what is said about the fact, we ought to seek out the mystery. Touch the fact, the death of Jesus on the cross. Let that fact penetrate you. Just don't think about it. Experience it. I can remember, oh my goodness, I'm going back now 40 or more years. I was sitting on the beach, and the Lord said to me, I want you to ask yourself, what happened when that man died? And that set me off on a pilgrimage, reading the scriptures, reading the fathers, reading what happened when that man died. But I have to know that for my own good, but to share with others. You see? So I think that's enough of the idea of what a mystery is. I'll just read a little bit as we conclude here. Since Christian mysticism develops through the action of the mystery received in faith, develops through the action of the mystery itself, and the mystery is the incarnation of the Word of God revealed in Scripture, Christian mysticism is essentially an understanding of the holy books. The mystery is their meaning. Mysticism is getting to know that meaning. Thus, one understands the profound and original identity of the two meanings of the word mystique, which in current French uses, he's writing in French, seems so different because we have to separate in order to analyze. The mystical or spiritual understanding of Scripture and the mystical or spiritual life are in the end one and the same. That's de Lubac.